Bibles, please, for our second reading, Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages, that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof unto the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt among the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Then the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream nor the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Who said the Bible is an action adventure? Right? All right, so here we are. We are, where are we in the history here? Because this is important to recognize. Notice Nebuchadnezzar says, I was at peace in my house. Now, think with me for a moment about the book of Daniel. Because we are about to say goodbye to Nebuchadnezzar. This is the parting shot. After chapter 4, the only time we will hear about Nebuchadnezzar is in memory. No more interactions with Nebuchadnezzar after chapter 4. Chapter 4 speaks of Nebuchadnezzar in his advanced kingdom. After he has gone forth with his army, conquering all of the known world, he returns to his palace in Babylon and is at rest in his house. This is late in the monarch's reign, after he has done his conquering, and when he is at peace. So that's the first thing, the time of the prophecy. I don't have a year for you, but it is late in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. All right, secondly, has Nebuchadnezzar somehow become a prophet of God? Had you ever thought of that? When you read Daniel chapter 4 And we hear things like, I, Nebuchadnezzar, seems to be written in the first person. Is Nebuchadnezzar a prophet then? Of course, the answer to that question is, he is in close cahoots with Daniel as he writes this. These are Daniel's words. He is acting as the scribe for Nebuchadnezzar and adding his own inspired comments as well. So we understand that this is, yes, it is inspired scripture. Yes, the words of Nebuchadnezzar as recorded and written by Daniel. Remember, it is the scripture that is inspired, right? We've been studying this on Thursday night. It's the scripture. God's plan of inspiration extends not to the thoughts of the prophets, not to the words of the prophets, but to the scriptures themselves. So this is inspired scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, is how Paul puts it in 2 Timothy 3:16. And so, yes, written by the prophet Daniel as an inspired amanuensis, taking what Nebuchadnezzar is telling him and writing it down under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit. No, Nebuchadnezzar has not suddenly become a prophet. Daniel is the writer, the author, and yet he is writing at the behest, at the command, and he's writing the storyline of Nebuchadnezzar, but he's writing because he's being moved by the Holy Ghost to do so. All right, so then note the great praise in this first section, verses 1 through 3. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion from generation to generation. This is wonderful praise from King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what's interesting about it is that it's very seldom in Scripture that we get a story like this where we have a commentary at the front of it explaining what's about to come, and then a commentary at the end of it telling us what just went. But that's what we have here. So we can take these things. Nebuchadnezzar introduces the story, which he, by the way, publishes for everyone in his realm to hear, right, as a decree that goes forth from the king. And he's going to write his inspired commentary under the hand of Daniel, which will be distributed to all, so that we have an inspired interpretation of the events that took place, a most extraordinary thing in the life of the king. Okay? So this is the introduction. So then, Nebuchadnezzar begins to speak about his time. He was at home, flourishing, and at peace in his home. So as I told you before, this speaks about the end of his reign. And notice that Nebuchadnezzar is going about his duty as a heathen king, as an unbeliever, and has no idea. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He doesn't know that he has this great need. He is at home in peace. He's done his conquering. He's like the man in Luke, 12, that kicks his feet up because his fields have brought forth plentifully. And he says, man, I'm at home. I'm at peace. Soul, thou hast laid up much goods for many years. Eat, drink, be merry, take your ease. I, Nebuchadnezzar, who have finished all my conquering, I'm at peace in my house, I'm fully satisfied, I've got no need. Things are going pretty well. It is at just such a time then that the Lord sends him a dream to disturb that quietude. Can we learn from that? You bet we can. Can we say that sometimes when we think we're at peace, we're really not? Sometimes when all of our outward circumstances are telling us peace, sometimes when our friends are telling us, don't worry about that, it's okay, that it's really not. And so this is what happens with Nebuchadnezzar here. He is at home, he is at peace, it's late in his monarchy, he's thinking about his halcyon days of peace now as he tails out the rest of his life and leaves all of the good stuff to his sons. He's in enjoy it mode, right? He's in his retirement, if we can use that terrible, terrible word. And so, it is at just such a time then that God breaks through that seeming complacency, that God breaks through that thick shell of I've got it all wrapped up and under control with a dream. And the dream he sends him troubles him because there is something of an interpretation there. Also, this is not, can we say it this way, his first rodeo. He's had dreams before. And he's seen, He remembers the prophecy that came back in Daniel chapter 2 when he had the dream of that colossus, and Daniel was the one who interpreted it and told him that he was the head of gold, and then that kingdom would pass to another set of kingdoms and to another and to another. And then there's this great big rock that comes that'll destroy all those kingdoms, and it's a kingdom that'll fill the whole earth. And so he knows that there's something out there that may not be so peaceable, so quiet, so tranquil. And so he sees, he has this dream. First thing he does then is he calls all the homeboys in, doesn't he? He calls in all the homeboys who are wont to give him comfort because he's troubled by his dream. And so if I can get the Chaldeans in here to interpret it, maybe they'll give me a favorable interpretation. He's shopping for counsel, isn't he? You know what I mean by shopping for counsel? We have a question. We have a dilemma. And so we ask our wisest Christian friends, hey, what do you think of this? And they tell us something we don't want to hear. Okay, thank you. Appreciate your time. Move on to the next. Hey, what about this? Should I do this? No, I don't think you should. Okay, thank you. Moving on to the next. And it may be 10 or 12 negative responses, but finally we find that one person that God really spoke to. Right? And they, how do we know that they spoke, that God spoke to them? Because they agree with us, of course. And so we have our counsel, right? What happens here? Nebuchadnezzar first calls in the Chaldeans. Surely the homeboys will give me something safe. Well, they can't interpret it. So then he calls Daniel in. The behavior of Daniel before King Nebuchadnezzar is nothing short of amazing. So Daniel comes in before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar tells him the dream. And Daniel is listening. And at the end of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar says, and that's the dream. Right? And Daniel is, well, the King James rightly translates it as astonied. He is just, he's blown away. Now I'd like to just take a step back from the text for a minute and think about the position that Daniel's in. He's a captive in a foreign land. This King Nebuchadnezzar has taken his three friends and attempted to burn them in the fire just a few years before. And so, what might you expect from some of our modern folks that consider ourselves to be occupied in a foreign land? They'd be tap dancing. They'd be dancing a jig. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, have I got some good news for you? No, not at all. Not at all. Daniel is blown away. He is completely silenced. You know why? Are you ready? It's going to be hard to take in our day and age. Are you ready? You know why? Because he loves the king that God has put over him. Oh, he may not love him as a fellow Christian, but he loves him. He recognizes that God alone, who is Lord of the conscience, has put this king over him for his good. And so when Daniel hears about the dream, the first thing he says is, oh, my Lord, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, may this dream be to your enemies and all those that hate you. Oh, not to you. Not to you. That's a great example, isn't it? It's a wonderful, wonderful example. We're going to talk about this afternoon because we're going to talk about the relationship between freedom and authority. So I'll not belabor it here, just to introduce it with the great heart of Daniel toward King Nebuchadnezzar. So he's silent. He's silent. Perhaps he's silent because he remembers that people that tell King Nebuchadnezzar things that are unfavorable to him, it doesn't fare very well for them. Maybe there's another fiery furnace out back. So finally, Nebuchadnezzar says to him, don't let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. And so with that word, then, Daniel gives the interpretation of the dream. And it is an extraordinary kind of dream and interpretation, isn't it? And so what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do is he's going to hear about a time in his life which is to come, which is certain that it will come, in which he will essentially, for approximately 7 years, seven times is what the scriptures say. So it may not be exactly 7 years. It may just be seven is a symbolic number, the perfect work of God upon Nebuchadnezzar, a perfect amount of time. It may be that, or it may be 7 years. That Nebuchadnezzar is essentially going to lose his mind. He's going to live in the field. He's going to be driven from men. He's going to be completely uncontrollable and unruly, such that they turn him out into the woods. He's like the man that lives among the tombs, the Gerasene demoniac. He's like a man who has lost his marbles. He's lost his mind entirely. How he survives for 7 years is indeed a miracle enough. His hair grows long, his nails grow long, no one comes near him for fear. He's lost his mind. And when God is done with him, then his senses will return to him, and the Lord will restore him to his kingdom. But notice that stump, I don't know if you caught this or not, but that tree will be cut down, right? So no longer will animals dwell underneath it. No longer will birds dwell in its branches. No longer will it give its shade and fruit to the nations. It will be cut down, but the stump will stay out in the field with a chain of iron. Nebuchadnezzar will be bound out in the field with a chain of iron. In other words, he must stay out there. Cannot come in. And so he's out for 7 years, howling at the moon, a lunatic. This is the dream, Daniel says. Now the words of Daniel at the end of the interpretation are very, very important. So then, king, he says, hear my counsel. Break off thy sins. Break off thy sins. What an amazing thing. What an amazing opportunity that the Lord presents Daniel with. And Daniel, walking through that door right into that opportunity, says, O king, the Lord is bringing this upon you for your sins. Therefore, break off your sins. It's an amazing passage. It's an amazing request. It's an amazing command for us all. Right? For us all. Break off your sins by showing mercy to the poor. And showing mercy to the poor is simply an ancient Near Eastern form of metonymy. Metonymy is a figure of speech whereby you put forth one thing that means the whole thing, right? So you put forth one drop of salsa for the whole enchilada, okay? And so the whole enchilada is doing righteousness, obeying the voice of the Lord. And it's put forth as by showing mercy to the poor. So, how do we see Nebuchadnezzar at the front of this? We see him in tranquility and at peace. Pretty self-satisfied. He's in retirement mode. He's in conservation mode. He's thinking he's got it all pretty well wrapped up. The watcher that comes down in his dream, Daniel rightly says to him, you saw it as a watcher, but let me tell you, it is the Most High that has decreed this. All right, so then the narrative goes on. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. All this. But notice we have an interval of 12 months. Did you catch that? It's 12 months later, after the dream and after Daniel's interpretation. That tells me that what Daniel told the king, break off thy sins, do righteousness, show mercy to the poor, maybe the Lord will allay. Maybe he'll put it out a ways. Maybe he'll postpone that judgment that is to come upon you. We have a 12-month postponement. So perhaps Nebuchadnezzar hearkened to the king. What a great encouragement then to all who would be put in the position to say to someone, break off your sins. All right, but at the end of 12 months, remember what Nebuchadnezzar did. He walked out on his palace, and of course archaeological digs have verified the grandeur of that palace that Nebuchadnezzar walked out on that day. And he looks out over the balcony and over the railing, in those famous gardens of Babylon, you know, that green roof that he had before we had green roofs, right? And he's walking out there in the midst of that great portico, and he's looking out over the great lands, and, you know, it's as far as he can see, it's his. And what does he do? He forgets everything Daniel told him. Because if he had a time of repentance, it was not a lasting repentance. Well, there is a lesson there, isn't there? Our repentance is or ought to be a repentance not to be repented of, is how the Apostle Paul puts it. Repentance ought to be a lasting repentance. But it was not for Nebuchadnezzar. So 12 months later, he's out on his patio and he looks out over the lands that belong to him and he says, Is not this great Babylon? Is this not the kingdom that I've built with my power, my majesty, and my might? And it is exactly at that sentence. It says, while the word was in the king's mouth, all these things came down upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men for 7 years. And he was out in the field, just like it was prophesied in the dream, just like Daniel interpreted that dream, just like the Most High had told him in that dream, and also interpreted by the voice of Daniel. So then, at the end of 7 years, what do we have? We have repentance. We have Nebuchadnezzar, and remember, this is the last we hear from him. What are the last words we hear from King Nebuchadnezzar? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. People just like me. Right? Isn't that how we end with Nebuchadnezzar? And so while Dr. Young and Dr. Kyle think that Nebuchadnezzar is not a converted man at the end of his life, Dr. Young and me, we believe he was converted. We believe we might even see him in heaven, because the Lord is able to crack the heart of an old, hardened king like Nebuchadnezzar. You know how I know that? Because he's cracked the old and hardened heart of this pastor. And I pray he's cracked your hearts as well. What a great passage about God and his authority over the greatest of the greatest kings in the world. And there's a lot more to be said on that, but we're saving that for this afternoon's sermon. So let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.